Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Welcome back to the place where you make sense of your money. This is Business Sense. Thank you so much for staying tuned here on Business Sense on AWR SID Media. And on the line, I am joined by Nolwande Ntembu. And I hope you're doing well, ma'am. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you. I hope you won't be losing connection as we talk.
No. We spoke about my producer has informed me, load shedding is honestly the pain of our existence now. So we understand. Don't worry. Just to give a little bit of context as to who Nolwande is for our listeners, she is the founder of Flowers and Bliss by Loa, which is a florist and event management business. She is also the founder of Wafika Travels, which is a traveling agency focused on group travels, solo, family and corporate travels, and basically creating deals that suit the customer's needs and budget. So please tell us just a little bit about yourself and how you got into this business and ended up in this industries all in one.
All right. Well, so how do I even package myself into one? I think one of the things that will connect the dots, I'm very much of a people's person.
Right.
So it has, that's just one thing that defines me. And through that, that is how even my businesses thrive, because I'm one person who believes in proper customer service. So in everything that you can ever do, your personality speaks for yourself, and it also brings more people into your business.
Right.
So how I started Flowers and after I had just resigned from work. I was highly depressed from the work environment. And I'm one person who always looks for the gap, okay, so which gap can I fill, anything that excited the flowers. But then when I started back in 2016, I had noticed that there were a lot of people and there was something missing on their tables. So I thought, oh man, let me just look into the flower arena. I hope that with flowers,
okay, so there goes the line into line into a little bit of a disaster. If you could just repeat your final line for us just there. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So I was saying, I also figured that it was also a problem whenever I wanted to order flowers with any of the, to get them delivered to places, like Ikasi and so forth. So I thought, no, man, let me just bridge that gap and try and be that girl that delivers flowers to your locations,
Okay,
so
girl.
So that's sort of like how I birthed Flowers and Bliss. And then with Wafika Travels, it was because of my love for traveling. So I would always travel, be it provincial, be it international, and I'm very active on social media. So whenever I'd post something, I'd have people asking, how did you get there? Who planned your itineraries and stuff? And I just thought, no, man, let me just monetize this thing and see how I can help other people curate their packages for them so that they can enjoy wherever they are. So this is how I came about with the two concepts.
Lovely. So you just decided to take that which you love and make it into a business, and stop being depressed in all these corporate situations that have nothing to do with
And I'm so glad I took that direction, because I mean, you can see with our economy now, you can't really survive with one salary.
No,
so I think having been depressed push me to a better direction, because now then I'm able to have my different streams of income, and it's really working for me. I'm enjoying what I'm doing, and
And I think you touched on a lot of points on how your businesses bridge the gap. But what makes your businesses stand out in your industry?
Sure, that's a very good question, because there's a lot of people doing the same thing, you know. But you always need to remember the why. Why am I doing this? You know, why does it make me unique? So, like I said, with the flower one, my main focus was to focus on the areas that I realized that, okay, I don't want to name and shame, but, you know, your big flower companies that that deliver, they don't reach those places.
Right.
So I figured that if I reach those places, then my business will stand out. And it really did, because then I became big in delivering around places, your Soshanguves, your Springs, and all those places, right? And then with the traveling one, especially with group travels, I've realized that, you know, in you get these WhatsApp groups, a group of friends who plan a trip, and then it's not successful.
100%.
So I thought about
part of this many of those groups.
Right? And they hardly ever make it, or maybe one would make it. So I looked into creating group travels where you just go and you meet total strangers. You don't have to wait for your friends to come and join you. And also the flexibility of having a travel stockpile, because then you are able to pace yourself with your payments. I mean, I realize that there's a lot of people who think traveling is so expensive, but it's because they think you just pay and you go now, whereas I give you that option where you can pay over 12 months, you can pay over 6 months, and when you are ready, then you come back and I show you your budget, and I'm like, okay, you know what? With this budget, you can afford to go to these places, right? And then when we take it to the corporate side of things, I have deals with different companies where I would arrange their travel packages, and then they get to pay me at the end of the month. So, you know, I would organize for their CEOs to go to Cape Town if they've got a meeting. And then obviously then I package all the invoices and I send them through to them, because sometimes it's just impromptu messages, I mean, meetings, and there's never really much time for the PA to plan that. And then that's where Wafika Travels come through.
Right. And so essentially you spoke about what launched you into starting these businesses. And when was this? How old are these businesses?
So with Flowers and Bliss, it is 2016. So let's do the math. 2016 to 2023. Ooh. Could it be what, 6 years?
Yeah, that's quite some time.
Yeah, 6 years. And over the 6 years, I obviously then I started as just a florist, and I have grown into doing decor, wedding planning, and so forth. So yeah, on this year number six, it has really grown. And then with Wafika Travels, it's still a baby. It's a year old. Mm. However, the growth is quite amazing, you know. And I would give the praise to the power of social media and word of mouth. And obviously, like what I spoke about in the beginning, customer service, because people would always speak high of someone who gives proper service, and it gives them more customers.
And speaking towards the idea of reaching a market that is not really catered for, you're talking about delivering flowers in the locations. Have you found many competitors ever since you started in 2016? And just so that you know, it has. This is your seventh year. You've been working hard for a very long time. So, anyway, yes. How has that experience been in terms of competitors?
You know, you'd be amazed, because so I would say I played a role in bringing that competition, because I remember just after COVID, there wasn't much business, you know, income flowing. So I looked into the direction of having like classes, florist classes, where I would teach people how to do flowers. And most of the people that came are people that obviously live in the locations and stuff. And then they started their own things. And obviously then competition came about from that. So, yeah, like I'm saying, I contributed partly into the competition that I was faced with. However, I've realized that with it always goes back to the customer service and your delivery and so forth, because your clients will always be your clients.
Of course.
You know, I'm one person, I don't choose. So at some point, I would be swamped with deliveries and I can't make it to certain places. Mm. I'd still be the one who refers that person to a person that I once trained and say, you know what, I'm not available, please go to that person. But either way, the clients would still come back, because not that they're not happy with that person, but because of the relationship that we have. So competition is always there, but I don't think I'm very much phased, if I should put
or
it that way.
Because by it.
Yeah.
We love that for you, girl. Keep
winning. Thank you.
Anyway, back at it. I know you spoke about how mental health, you know, was one of the driving forces that made you wanted to start a new business. But what was that key driving force to become an entrepreneur? Because it's quite a risky thing to do, you know. What was that key driving force for you to become an entrepreneur?
It's a very, very risky thing. So I think at that time, I didn't have a solid qualification that would give me the job that I thought I wanted or the salary that I thought I wanted, because I had dropped out of university and I didn't have the funds to also go back and study.
Right.
So with the law that I had, I obviously then, you know, just went through my Google, and like I told you that I saw an opportunity with flowers. Then I saw this certain, you know, course being offered on wedding planning and flowers. And I thought, okay, I do have the 6,000 rands to pay for this. I don't have the money to pay UNIFA or any other institution to finish my qualification. So maybe for the time being, let me just do this flower arrangement while I save for my studies, right? So I did just that. And guess what? When I started getting the money, I had no desire to go back to school and finish the financial management that I was doing. However, yeah, so I did something totally different. I went for psychology, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah, I went for psychology. And you know, through studying, then I realized that, oh, no, I need to keep working in order to be able to finance my studies.
Right.
So, you know, so that alone became a driving force to pushing hard in entrepreneurship. Mm. And then I get to a point where, okay, I'm done with my studies. What now? And having to start a practice is not so easy. So let's look into other things that you can do. So I think, yeah, this is just how I kept it pushing until, yeah, like now I'm still pushing it. I really have other small things that I'm doing on the side, but I don't think it would be easy for me to go back to your normal 8 to 9 environment.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very tricky.
And I think, like, in some ways, like, even psychology does help you with customer service and understanding people in a lot of ways. So I think that's also a contributing, like, as much as, you know, they seem very different, they're all sort of connected. You're doing flowers that cater to, you know, supporting a certain thing, but you're also dealing with people that are traveling and they're very stressed and they want a certain, you know. So it's very, very interesting there. You mentioned that you, you know, at the time you had the 6,000 rand to, you know, go into the course. But how did you raise the funds to start your business?
So remember, I had resigned.
Right.
So I got the provident fund.
Right.
So from the provident fund, then there was SARS telling me that I owe them so much money. So from what I had left, I obviously paid my rent in advance, and I did all the big things that I felt needed to be done, paying for my daughter's fees. And then from the money that I had left, that's what I used. You know, so I'd be lying if I said maybe, oh, I sold coffee and I did that. No, it was actually money that was left from the provident fund. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to take a risk. This is obviously my last 1,000 rand that I have. And I didn't just recover it, you know, that easily, because after doing the course, took me, obviously I had to post now on Facebook that this is what I'm doing. I was not getting any likes. I was not getting any comments. In fact, you know, I had people laughing, oh, what does she think she's doing? You know, who's going to buy flowers? We've got net florists. Who does she think she is? So, yeah, so then the depression started again. And so, you know, that one client, and I obviously then had to even sell at a price where I wasn't even making profit. But just so I could advertise myself, that they could see that, oh, okay, so she's really doing this thing. And I would literally beg those customers to post, you know, just post and tag me, please. You know, I would beg them. Some of them, they're not big on social media, but it took Facebook, to be quite honest with you, to get myself out there. And then I started recovering the money bit by bit. And the next thing you know, on Mother's Day, I was getting a lot of orders. Father's Day.
Of course. And I drank. You laugh now, but you will want them later.
You're right. Yes. So I think it's all about timing as well. Because when I started, it was around about February, beginning of February, I remember. But by the time it was May for Mother's Day, girl,
That money was coming in, girl.
And like I said, it's about this, identifying a gap. Because at that time, then I realized that, okay, it can't just be flowers. It's Mother's Day. Let me find someone who supplies gowns and do gown embroidery to make it extra special. So I sold them as a package, flowers and a gown for your mom. And yeah, so it became just that, and it started booming.
Well, you know, here's to your haters. They're left in the rearview mirror while you are still moving forward, honey. So we love that for you. I mean, you've touched on this question that I'm about to ask, but just for a little bit more extensive explanation for those who don't really understand the depth of customer service, how do you build a successful customer base?
So, you know what, first, what I've realized that I need to separate myself from conflict. You know, when you're dealing with customers, they come with their own different stresses. I mean, when someone is getting married, they're already a bridezilla, and, you know, and so you need to separate yourself from whatever that they are
the
feeling.
Chaos.
And number two, as much as it's about money, but what am I giving you? Am I giving you value for what you're paying for? You know, so those are some of the things that you should ask yourself, that, okay, why am I doing this thing? Oh, why I'm doing it? It's because I want to render a service, a beautiful service, as much as it's about the money. But then it's not just about the customer coming now. You want to retain that customer, because they could be coming for a birthday, you know, birthday decor. But whatever that I'm doing at that time, I'm selling myself to that person's friends, you know. And if then my attitude towards that customer is, you know,
somehow,
otherwise it's filthy, and somehow, then, you know, rest assured, I will not be referred to the next person. So in whatever that I do, I try, you know, the first time you call me and you request for a quote, that's where the relationship begins. You know, the treatment that I give you. So if I'm going to be called from the first call that you make, then, I mean, moving forward, then you know for sure that this is not the person I want to deal with. And also, I've realized, you know, on Facebook, Twitter, people always post, you know, I think they're always quick to bash, for lack of a better word, black businesses. So, yeah, you know.
We don't love ourselves, girl. That's the problem. So now we hate on each other.
Right. So you could be texting me saying hi, or maybe hey, and then the next thing I'm just sending a hi, and that's it. How are you? What do you want? Those things matter, you know. The responses that I'm giving you, they will matter, you know. So I need to separate my problems from my business at the same time to also try and, you know, maintain that customer service. If I'm going to hire somebody, they need to be emotionally well equipped, you know, because sometimes we hire people, they come with their own stresses. They don't hold the same values that you hold
that
for your
you
business,
hold,
you know. So it goes a long way. And like you said, me having to study psychology, it actually connects all the dots, because then I would know how to deal with certain people. You know, sometimes you get the angriest of people who feels like, no, you're very ridiculous, and you just have to bring them back and make them realize why you are paying so much, you know, because not everybody understands why they have to pay so much for a chair, tables, truly. Flowers, right? Yeah.
And like to create a true interpersonal relationship, one needs to have a certain level of emotional intelligence. So it does help to have, as you say, you know, studied psychology to some degree and also continue to study it. I think it helps, like, because as you say, people come into the door with their problems and they're not about to stop. They are about to make it yours. So
they are not about to stop.
Yeah. So it's
and
just
also, you know, with the traveling one as well, because I do a lot of group travels, like I said, and with those I always make sure that I'm part of the tour, because there's people with different personalities there. So I always have to find a way if there's a bit of conflict, because the other person doesn't want to go to this restaurant, the other one, no, but I don't like this room. So you always have to find a way to balance the situation, you know. So another person would be going on holiday because they're depressed. The other one is coming because they're celebrating something. And the one who's celebrating is always hyper. The one who's depressed wants, you know, they want attention, or they want to be quiet. So now you always need to find a way to, you know, I don't know, help them to coexist, you know, for those couple of days. And then, you don't have to deal with each other after this, you know. Right. But it's hardly ever the case, because even when I have such a group, by the time we leave, there's that sisterhood of friendship that's created, because then you know how to deal with different personalities.
And I mean, that's life, yeah? I mean, we have to deal with new personalities every single day. If we're not going to be able to coexist, what's the point of living on this earth? We're going to be so annoyed all the time. These many questions that my producer has for you. I feel like I will never finish.
I was like, is she giving me an hour or something?
Of course, girl. Of course. When you run two businesses, come on. We have to give you all the time in the world. So just describe to us an outline of your typical day.
Sure. So my typical day, I would give you from, because my days are different, right? So my Thursdays to Sundays are hectic. So if it's not decor, it's obviously then the traveling. So if it's decor, that's when on a Thursday I'm at the storage, I'm counting the stuff that I need for the weekend. The guys are wiping things, making sure that everything is fine. And obviously then it's about just taking things out. The Friday is dedicated to flower arrangements for that event. And it would usually be like serious, serious flower arrangements. And then the Saturday usually starts at 3 a.m., depending on where we are working. So our Saturday, because you know what? I'm that person. If you've got an event and it starts at 10, I want to be done by 8:30.
I get that, girl. Okay, you see, you and I would work well together, because, I mean, the event cannot be running late because of a flower or because of us. Like,
or the chairs.
The chairs. Or the camera guy. Please. No.
The worst thing that can ever happen is guests arriving and you're still putting on glasses, and some of them want to help you. It's so embarrassing. It is so embarrassing. And then my Mondays are purely for rest. I do not even lift a finger. Mondays, I refuse to do anything. No coffee dates, no nothing.
Guys, please listen up, because that is important. I feel like people just keep running themselves till they expire. You need a day of rest. Okay, thank you. You were saying?
Yeah. And then my Tuesdays and Wednesdays would be for my admin. So that's where I fully focus on my emails. Invoicing and everything, I do my admin on those 2 days. However, if there's traveling, then I try not to mix the two, especially if it's a group travel. If it's any other, it's a couple or whatever, those do not need me so much, because then right. I would obviously do the booking, you are there, that's it. Mm-hmm. But if it's a group, for example, I just came back from a group travel, four days ago, because when your manager was talking to me, I was still in Tanzania. Mm. So with those, I try not to commit to anything. I've got guys that work, however, what I only allow them to do is just deliveries. Right. I feel like I can't allow anyone to do deco without me being around, because I really am a perfectionist. So
love that.
I worry.
That's how your business is still succeeding, girl.
Mm-hmm. Right. So mm-hmm. I worry if you've put the spoon on the right place, the napkin is placed right. correctly. So, yeah. So like I said, if I know that I'm overcommitted, it's either I would give the client to someone else, or with my regular customers, they would tell you, no, I'm willing to change my date until you're back. You know, I right. guess what, some of those. But yeah, that's just my typical week. If I've got a group travel, I would be gone, and I'm busy being a tour administrator wherever I am, enjoying at the same time. But if I'm not doing that, then my mind is, I'm relaxing. Tuesday, Wednesdays are for admin. Thursday to Sunday, it's all about the events. So I would have 1 to 3 events at most in one weekend. Anything more than 3, I give it to other people who are in the same business.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you feel like you will ever get to a point where you will probably start like training within your business, so that like you can actually let go at a certain point or relax, that the perfection is done according to standards?
So I have trained 3 people actually already. Mm. So what I've realized is that maybe it's a matter of comfort. I'm more comfortable with them doing small events in my absence, like 10 to 60. But when it's big events, I'm still a bit skeptical, because not necessarily about them doing the right thing, but about them finishing on time.
Right.
You know, because I've realized that when I'm there, everything, you know, goes quick. But
yeah,
when
it's your
there,
baby. It's your baby. So people are scared. So they're like, we need to make sure her baby looks good. Let's go.
Yeah. And believe me, they would make it look good. But for me, it's about the timekeeping.
Right.
You know,
that's still one a part minute, of your brand.
The other one wants to go for a smoke break. And the smoke break, they're on WhatsApp. Mm. The other one, you know. So I think that's just my worry at the moment. But yes, I have trained and I'm happy with what they deliver.
Right.
I just need to trust them with timekeeping, I suppose. Yeah.
And I think a sense of urgency is something that we all need sometimes, you know,
a sense of urgency.
I think it's also a part of just being what you said. You believe in this vision that you have, and finding people that have the same belief in the vision, no matter how small it may seem to them, if they're passionate about it, they'll do it on time, right time, every time. But you know, that's not the point. That's not what we're talking about right now. Let's get into how being an entrepreneur affects your personal and family life. And what I mean by that is, you're talking about traveling constantly, and I know you mentioned a daughter somewhere, and I'm like, how does it all link?
So it affected your time. Okay, so I'm also married.
Oh.
And yes, I'm married with 2 kids.
Right.
And okay, I've got a helper, but you know, you can't always dedicate those big responsibilities to a helper.
Mm.
So it does affect to the point that at times I feel guilty, you know.
Mm.
So what I would do sometimes with these group travels, just to give an example, we're doing the Lesotho snow vacation next week. I've got a group. So I would try and squeeze in my eldest daughter.
How do I get on that group?
How
do I get on that group?
Come on, let's go. So
anyway, you're saying, sorry.
So I would try to squeeze the eldest one, because the smaller baby doesn't really understand whether I'm gone or I'm around. And thank God, because my husband is quite understanding. But with all of that being said, I would still feel guilty that, oh my gosh, I'm always away, you know. But then I try to make up for it whenever I'm home, just like now. It doesn't matter how much work I have, I would make sure that I do all my, you know, motherly, wifely duties. I cook, I do all these things so that, you know, I feel that gap when I'm not around. And then with the decor parts, because with that as well, I have to leave very early, but then my husband is also a part of it, so he plays a great role in that business. So
support your partners.
Yeah, so we work together, you know. I would say he's my business partner now, although it's fully my baby. But yeah, so I think whenever we're doing decor, it's okay. However, there's also contrast, because remember the sense of urgency, we don't carry the same energy. So when we are working, then I need to snap out of that. He's my husband. When
no,
I need
he's not your husband.
Done, like,
he is your co-worker.
Yeah,
when
I need things to be done on time, I'd be screaming at everyone and just giving me that eye. Then when we get home, I'm over it. Can we talk about something else? And he's still stuck on whatever that I said when I was shouting. So, yeah, it's not easy.
It's a lot.
You're just stressing about things, maybe figures not balancing, you know, invoicing, and he's good with accounting.
Right.
So, yeah, he's an auditor. So at some point, I'd have to wake him up very early. I mean, like early hours of the morning. No, this thing is not balancing. And now I'm shouting while I'm crying. So it's a lot, really. It's a lot. It's not easy. But through it all, I've learned to normalize therapy. Never mind the fact that I'm 100%. A psychologist by profession, but I do go on therapy as well, just to make sure that my emotions are in check. Because sometimes I just come back and I'm shouting at everyone, and
same girl.
Then I come back to my senses, and yeah.
See, when you get frustrated, sometimes the safest place to explode those frustrations are on the people you care about the most. It's quite concerning or jarring sometimes because you feel safest there. You don't feel safe shouting at a random person because, once again, that's your customer and you're trying to create a good relation. But now, here's your husband, here's your child, and excuse me, you know me. Tomorrow will be fine. Let's just move, please. Hey, so I
but
totally get it, and I think
that, you know, it also gets tricky when you come back and you shout at them, because especially with kids, I think my first bunch is a teen now, and they take some of these things
personally.
They personalize everything, and at that time. Also, I'm glad because I'm that mother that allows my kids to tell me when they're not okay. Why are you not okay? No, because that day when you said A, B, and C, and at that time I'm trying to remember, did I really say that? What was happening? Was I angry? Did I come back? You know? And now it's just, so you're always making excuses about the fact that it was work, you know? So you always try to balance it. Hence, I've really tried to normalize therapy, and when I feel like, okay, this is too much for me now, then like call my therapist. I need to vent, you know. And I've also realized that it's one of those things. I think one of my biggest meltdowns, if I should put it that way, was when I started the traveling agency, because I took it very light. I thought, ah man, I'm just going to plan these things for people and that's it. It's all about having fun. But then you get caught up in a whole lot of things. I mean, you are traveling, it's exciting. When you're there, you miss your family. When you are back, okay, you're trying to catch up, whatever I missed out on. And then there's people requesting quotations. Some are really angry because you're not answering on time. And, you know, so I just remembered also, I'm very, very much spiritually inclined. So there's one of my favorite scriptures that says, to whom much is given, much is required. And yeah, so
is that true,
I just came back to this whole thing that, you know, God has just given me all these talents, all these gifts. Because like I said, I'm just going to focus on these two, the flower and the travel one, but there's other ones, smaller ones on the sides that I'm doing that I'm not even going to talk about. So it was just too much. Like, okay, much is given unto me and much is required, but I only have 24 hours and I'm only one. No. So, yeah. And as much as you try to have people come on board that you want to work with, but I've also realized that the attitude is not the same, where, you know, when they be working for a big company, maybe reporting to a white boss,
right,
as opposed to them working to, I mean, I'm quite short, and I don't think anyone really thinks, hey, this one can actually tell me what to do. Mm. So they would come because they're looking for a job, but along the way, because I tend to be very friendly and very accommodating, then they become too comfortable, then you have a problem. So at some point, you're like, okay, let me try and do this thing alone and see. But then at the end of the day, you do need a team, you know, a solid team. So, which is also something that I'm really working on, especially with the traveling parts, because it's really hectic.
Hey, you know, the things you mentioned are things that I am very concerned about in my future owning of business, because that is something I aim to do, folks. But seriously, like what you're talking about the balance between trying to be friendly and kind and them still taking you very seriously can be quite tricky. And navigating that is not going to be easy. And I think, you know, by doing your therapy and still becoming a psychologist, maybe one day you'll fully grasp it and we'll interview you again. And then you can tell us how to do it, because I have no idea.
Yeah. Oof. No, and you know, it's so hard to be a mean person when it's just not in you.
Right.
You really want to try and attempt. And then
it's like they're pulling, you know, something that doesn't exist out of you.
And it's so draining. It is so draining. I'm not one to send horrible emails and threatening emails. So it really does get draining. And I really hope to get to a point where I can be that stern, manager, CEO, who, you know, you don't want to be the devil wears Prada type of person when you're coming, everyone's running. But, you know,
but at the same time, you'd also wish that people take you that seriously, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'll get there.
I get it, girl. I have a lot more questions, but I have to summarize our conversation now and let you go. I think you mentioned a lot of hassles. What is your biggest motivator?
My biggest motivator. Okay, so I'm big on vision boards, right? I am so big on vision boards. I live by a vision board. Mm. So I think my vision board is my greatest motivator in most cases, never mind my family, my kids, but having to see myself ticking off things on my vision board motivates me to keep working harder. You know, you want to get to your next goal. You want to get to the next one.
Yeah.
So I think for me, that does the trick, right? Because I have different goals. Some about, you know, where I want to find myself financially. Mm. And I have gotten to a point where I've reached, I think, some of the highest peaks financially. And then obviously that money has to go and work again.
Right.
But all thanks to a vision board. Because if I didn't have it, then nothing would really drive me. I wouldn't, because if I would say it's my family, I mean, along the way you get relaxed. You know, they need to understand that you're tired. But if you've got a vision, your vision will always drive you to want to do better every day.
And I think just to close off then, what was your most satisfying or has been your most satisfying moment this far? And what are those final words you'd like to leave to a listener who possibly wants to go into being an entrepreneur in whatever right, or even the similar industry that you're in?
My most satisfying moment is actually seeing what I thought was an idea, you know, becoming fruitful. Sometimes we say we want to do things and then we procrastinate because we are fearing the unknown. We are fearing what people would say.
Right.
But the most satisfying thing really for me is seeing what I didn't even think would really exist, but actually operating and being productive and bringing all the money that it is bringing, because at the end of the day, it is about the money. So what I would say to someone is just start. You know, just start, because in most cases we have a lot of fear. I think fear is the one thing that makes people not to do anything, you know, because you don't know if you'll make it. No, but there's a lot of people doing this. Yes, there are a lot of people, but the pie is too big for all of us. With whatever idea that you have, just start. You know, I said this to someone last year, and she came back to me and she's like, guess what? I did buy those clothes and I did, you know, trademark my label and do this. And now I'm selling, I'm going big in Limpopo and I'm about to do this. So it's all about starting. It's all in the head. Yeah. So, yeah. So for anyone who wants to start, don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to people who tell you it cannot be done or that they've done it and they failed. Your potential is your potential. The grace that you carry is your grace. So if it didn't happen for them, it will definitely happen for you. And while you are doing it, whatever it takes, just stick to your own lane. You are your biggest competitor.
Honestly.
And yes, and when you make it, lift as you rise. I think that's another thing that helps me a lot, because I don't look at fellow sisters who are in the decor industry as my competitors, because, hey, if I feel like I'm too swamped, I give them the business. You know, we all want the bread. So it doesn't help to be greedy with business and then the next thing you don't deliver. So if you are in the business, lift as you rise. When you are on top, there's no competition, there's collaborations. So do not be fearful of collaborating, but know the people that you want to collaborate with. So, yeah, the long and short of it, just start and be consistent. Be consistent. And consistency is difficult when you do not have the audience clapping for you. But just be consistent anyway. And, you know, when you are consistent and, you know, oh, so, okay, here, let me not forget this part. Social media, it matters how you use your social media.
Right.
There is lots of money lying in on Facebook, on Instagram, on whatever. What you post will really, really take you very far. Believe you me, my business is where it is because of social media. My WhatsApp status, well, my whatever. Yonki into mina Facebook and whatever. So take your social media seriously. Don't just browse and waste time browsing, looking at people's stories. And you are, while you are browsing, ask yourself, what do I have to show these people? And once you start showing them whatever that you're showing them, remain consistent. You might start with no like, you might start with one like, next thing it's hearts, next thing it's sharing, next thing you know, there are people searching for your name. So take your social media seriously. But before you get there, you need to start whatever it is that you want to start.
That's true. And, you know, just to say goodbye, for those who would like to get in touch with your business, how do they get a hold of you? You mentioned social media. You also mentioned...
So on social media, even my personal page has turned into business. So I've got a business account on Instagram and on Facebook, which is Wafika_travels. And then I've also got Flowers and Bliss by Loa. On Instagram. And then if that fails, they can just check me as Nolwandle Mthembu and on Facebook, and that will just redirect them to most of my pages. However, if they want to then find out about any packages that I have, they can WhatsApp 079-514-6822. Right, and we can just then discuss any packages that we have, or the traveling stock show, or yes, anything travel. We can talk about it on that number.
Perfection. Thank you so much, Nolwande Mthembu, so much for joining us on the line and talking to us about Flowers and Bliss by Lwa and Wafika Travels. I think this has been a very insightful conversation, and it was lovely just to talk to you. You may be physically short in person, but you are great in everything that you do and very tall in business. So please keep doing what you're doing, and I look forward to one day supporting this business, whether it be at the flowers or the traveling, because you're talking about how you were in Tanzania. Girl, clearly I need to be contacting Wafika Travels. Okay.
Yes.
But thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you so much.
Have a lovely evening.
All right. And yeah, even to the listeners, thank you for listening. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Have a good night. Bye. Ah, that was such a wonderful conversation. We almost didn't want it to end, yeah. But let's take a quick 30-second break. We're coming back just to wrap up the show because, guys, we only have 5 minutes before I have to say goodbye. Yeah, man, I couldn't let Nolwande Mthembu go just like that. But if you would like to stay in contact with her, remember the number to dial is 079-514-6822. That is 079-514-6822. You can also, search for Flowers and Bliss by Lwa on Instagram, as well as Wafika_Travels. And you can also check on Facebook for Nolwande Mthembu. And also, if you have missed our conversation, remember our podcasts are available. Do yourself a favor and listen to them. We'll be right back. Let us take a short break.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Yeah, we're back. Because as I said, 5 minutes left on the clock, guys, we got to say goodbye. But you know, before I say goodbye, the memory text for today, guys, I did you a disservice by not starting there. But our memory text for today, for those who do not know, comes from Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I think this speaks to what Nolwande is talking about how starting a business may sound scary, may sound challenging, but guys, if you walk in the light of the Lord, you know, and has he not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Yeah? Do not be afraid, because you know the Lord is going with you. And so let's get into business, guys. Let's get into creating and supporting one another in these businesses. Africa is such a unique continent. We should not be afraid to support one another as Africans, as Black people. And finally, just to remind you what Oprah Winfrey says, do not worry about being successful, but work towards being significant, and success will naturally follow. So if you've missed out on the show for today, you have missed out on a lot. We touched on Cape Verde again, looking at the social cultural landscape of Cape Verde, and we also spoke a lot about praying more. So if you have missed something and you really want to get it, remember to check out our podcast on the AWR SID Media app, as well as the website. But as for me, Gunda Ravangani, it has honestly been a pleasure being able to have this discussion with you. And just to finalize what our scripture reading of Joshua 1 verse 9 was talking about, life is full of challenges, sorrows, and tough decisions. But even amidst hardship, the Lord counsels us to be strong and courageous. Understanding this Bible verse can help us face hard things with faith and confidence. God is always there for us, so we can be strong knowing He always has our backs. So that is from me to you. sending my love and light as I usually do. It is your girl, Gunda Rabangani, signing out here on Business Sense, standing in for Thapelo Moloi. I'll be back for the final time this week tomorrow to wrap up our conversation. But for now, good night and have a blessed evening.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.